Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
So that's a question I often ask when I'm having a tussle with my lads. Who's the daddy? Who's the daddy? And trouble is they're getting bigger and they punch a lot harder than they used to. So they don't know how to kind of measure their punches. You know, like when you're having a tussle with someone and you kind of gently tap them. It's kind of like, whack! It hurts. It hurts. But a big daddy splash, that still works. Some people of an older generation remember Big Daddy. Easy. He used to do a big daddy splash where he just kind of like, he was a massive guy and he just bang, he just used to slam on people and that was it. You know, that end of match, a big daddy splash. All right. Anyway, enough about me. So, God is our Father. He's the daddy, if you like, okay? And when we're saying that, basically, when some people use that expression to say, I'm the boss, you know, I'm the daddy around here, I'm the boss. God is the daddy in more ways than one, yeah? He is our loving, heavenly Father. Thankfully, he's never done a big daddy splash on us, otherwise there wouldn't be much left. There is one account of God wrestling with a human being. Where was that? Anybody know? Jacob wrestled with God, and he never walked the same again, huh? His hip was put out of place, changed into a different man. In fact, his whole name was changed. All right, you're going to be known as Israel from now on. And that's where the name Israel comes from, he who contends with God. Excellent. Okay. So it's true that God wants us to get to grips with him, yeah? When God is our Father, we can enjoy a AAA access to him and to all of heaven's resources. AAA, access all areas. Yeah? We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Don't think you're not, you are. All right? You may not feel it, but you are. But you are, okay? And I'm not going to be preaching from the Bible this morning. I'm going to be preaching from the television screen. I got your attention at least, didn't I? Okay, so let's have the first scripture up there. It's still the Holy Bible, even though it's on the television screen, all right? So don't get too upset. But you ladies, you look pretty silly walking around with one of those in your handbags, wouldn't you? Great big television screen. So, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many people would like a bit of goodness in their life? How many people would like some peace in your life and joy in your life? You know, if people could bottle that, how much would they be able to sell that for? It's absolutely priceless, isn't it? And yet we get it free of charge from our God. Absolutely priceless. If we were Miss World, anybody ever remember that when Miss World used to be on? I wouldn't watch such terrible things like that, but you know, they always used to say, "What was it you want to do?" Oh yes, I want to instigate world peace, and that's never going to happen. Not when mankind is in charge of the show, I'm afraid. So you can guarantee world peace isn't going to happen until God's kingdom comes upon the earth. But God has promised us. Peace, and it's an inside job. It's an inside job. So no matter what's going on around you, we can know God's peace. It's a promise. God's promise for us. And what God promises, he can deliver. Yeah? He can deliver. He can deliver. Right. When God is a daddy in your life, you get grace upon grace. That's God's undeserved favor. Anybody could use some of that? When God is the daddy in your life, you get mercy upon mercy. Anybody could do with God's mercy? Yeah? Okay, that's not getting God's judgment that we deserve. All right, and there's so much more as well. Let's have our next scripture up, please. Philippians 4, verse 6 through to 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, anybody managed to do that? Don't worry about anything. Has anybody cracked that one just yet? Tony's doing well, you know, because he's a chilled out Australian, do you know what I mean? He's just kind of like, that's why he's so laid back, he's upside down because he's Australian, do you know what I mean? Get out of your blue. Right, don't worry about anything, mate. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's a good policy. Good policy. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, you can have all kinds of stuff going on within your life, and there's no reason why you should have peace. And yet, God's peace can go beyond that. He can give you peace, even when people go look and say, why is that person got so much peace? You can't understand why that person would have peace. It's because God has placed a supernatural peace on the inside of them, of you, okay? It's God's intention to give you peace of mind and heart, all right? And here's the problem, though. God has given us a free choice. And sometimes, well, in fact, a lot of the time, we're our own worst enemy. I always remember Pastor Colin Urquhart saying, the devil's not your worst enemy, you are. You are, okay. So we think that we're the daddy, and we're not. We're not. Okay. How many people like trains? I haven't been on one in so long because it's just too expensive. But I used to like traveling on trains. Trains can be fun, but they need to stay on the rails if they're going to be fun. All right. Okay. Can you imagine taking a train journey on the M6? You're going to know delay and frustration. It's bad enough when you're in a car on the M6, but trying to take a train at the M6, you're going to know frustration. All right. A train needs to be on the rails. And a Jesus follower needs to be on the rails of life that God has shown them, yeah? So God has laid out some rails for our lives, and we need to stick to those rails. As soon as we get off, we're like a train that's not on track. It's not good. You're not going to go anywhere very fast. It's just a mess. Yeah, it's just a mess. Frustration and delay in your life. Okay. There's two camps of people in life, if you like. There's those who serve God, or you can serve something else. You know, everybody serves somebody or something. People say, I don't want to know God. It's too much like hard work to know God. Is it? You know? Compare it with who you're serving or whoever they're serving. Everybody serves somebody. Yeah. Who is it that we serve? Okay. It's wisdom to serve God because he's a good God. He's a good God. All right. All right. One of the world's biggest slave drivers is money and the love of it. Yeah? That's why Jesus said the root of many kinds of evil is the love of money. Money is a useful commodity, feeds our families, puts clothes on our backs, etc. But it's a terrible master. A terrible master. People kill for it. They make war for it. They put people into slavery for it. Trafficking. It's all over the news, isn't it? People doing it all for money. Drugs. It's all about money. Because people are having money as their daddy. And it's not good. It's a terrible, terrible master. And certainly as Christians, we need to make sure that money's never going to be our master. And of course, God has got the remedy for that. We've heard about that, haven't we, within this place. You know, the world tells us you've got to buy, upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. The pressure comes to us all the time. Oh, I need to get the latest thing, the latest car, the latest iPad, iPhone, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying all these things are bad, but we mustn't be slaves to them, guys. Yeah, we mustn't be slaves to them. So perhaps I'm saying, don't get the latest thing. Don't listen to them when they say you've got to get the latest thing. No, you haven't. You know, you haven't got the latest thing. Don't put yourself into debt. You know, that money could be used better elsewhere, couldn't it? Yeah, adding value to other people's lives, maybe. It's something that John Maxwell often says. You know, money should be not like a reservoir. Money should be like a river. You know, it flows in and it flows out. It does good to other people. Use your worldly wealth, the Bible says, to help others. All right, to live for money is to commit idolatry. Okay, that's not the rails that God has got for us. That's the train on the M6. Okay, not good. Jesus has taught us differently. Matthew 6, verse 24 through to 26. This is what happens when you rely on technology. Say again, is it not the one I said?
No,
I tricked you. All right, sorry, mate. Matthew 6, can we get the Matthew 6 one now? I'm definitely going to need that one now. Sorry, mate. Or shall I just read it out of my Bible? Yeah. Old school. We're going old school. Probably going to, actually. This is one of my favourite scriptures, so it should kind of like fallish open to it. Is he there? 24, aren't he?
Oh.
Just amuse yourselves. Anyway. Well, I'm going to read it from here anyway. Mine's got red letters. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one or love the other. What an amazing statement. You know, there's no kind of like, I'm going to love them both. No, you can't. Jesus says you're either going to hate one or you're going to love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And Aaron Jane was explaining to us a message from some time ago. That word there is actually mammon, which is the spirit that there is upon money. You know, we live in a world, but we also live in a spiritual world as well. And there is a spirit that can be upon money, the love of money, the lust for money. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? The question is then from Jesus, do you trust your daddy? Do you trust your daddy? It's a good question. So many super rich are losers in life. When you look at their family situations, when you look at their friendship situations, have they got real friends or have they just got people that are hanging on to them because of their fame, because of their money, etc., etc.? Time and time again, you read about such and such a superstar has committed suicide or whatever, you know? All these things, people in those situations, they find themselves, they get to the top, and it's not what they wanted at all, and they just went out. God's remedy to taming the money monster is to give. Give the first 10%, also known as the tithe. Give to the needy, that's extra on top. Give generously, and then God will bless you, and he does. And I know there's plenty of us who have actually experienced that. Yeah? God is good, and he's faithful, you know, and he's no man's debtor. You know, even if we gave everything we had, we'd still owe God. But, you know, God being who he is, you know, the daddy, he makes sure that his children are well looked after. Yeah. If God can feed a nation in the desert and take care of them, he can take care of you. I'm talking, of course, about the Israelites. It's all there. Read all about it. In the book of Exodus, read all about it, okay? Ask your homework, go home and read the book of Exodus. Anyway, right, here's a weird one. Don't let your house become a prison. Right, as in, right, is it something you could never leave? There's a thought. I'm thinking about myself. You know, a house is kind of like, I guess, the biggest thing that we own. Perhaps, you know, the most expensive thing. Make sure it doesn't become a prison. So God told Abraham, leave your home. And he did. Yeah. But the fancy if God came and said to you, all right, how you doing? How you doing, Matt? Leave your home. Oh, but I like it. I've only just bought it. You know, leave your home. Don't let it be a prison. All right. And he wandered around in the tent to follow the call of God. And God blessed him. And the whole world has been blessed through him because he obeyed that which God told him to do. So the whole world has been blessed through Abraham and his seed, namely Jesus. God gave him his very own miracle boy. You can listen to the podcast of a couple of weeks ago when we were speaking about that. His name was Isaac. Okay, and Isaac inherited his father's promise, and his son inherited his promise after him. So the promise went down the generations, yeah? And that was because his prison wasn't a home, you know? He did the thing that God told him to do, and he was blessed so much because of it. And as a result, we in the whole world have been blessed. Thankfully, he knew who the daddy was. And Abraham himself, he's known as Father Abraham, Daddy Abraham. He became the little daddy, if you like. Father Abraham. God once said to him, okay, you love your son, don't you? Sacrifice him to me. That's even harder, isn't it? You know, it's even harder. Okay, you left your home behind. That's good. I like that, Abraham. I said, sacrifice your son there. And he was ready to do that. You know, he didn't have a Bible where it says, I don't accept human sacrifice. So, you know, he wouldn't have been able to read it. Actually, God, it says in the Bible, so I'm not going to do that. You know, but he understood and he knew the voice of God. And he was willing to lay down his son for God. But God said, no, don't do it. I've seen, I've tested you, and I know that you will not even withhold your son from me. See, God didn't need Abraham's sacrifice because he knew that there was going to be a son called Jesus. It was the only sacrifice that was necessary. His son, Jesus. Right. What about a career? Now, a career can serve a purpose, yeah? But your purpose, my purpose, our purpose, is to serve God. Above all, above everything else. Could you let go of your career if God asked? I know some of you have. Well done. Excellent. Excellent. God is going to bless you because you've done that. I believe it. Right, Peter, James, and John, they did. Successful fishermen. Come and follow me. Yeah, all right then. Just after the biggest catch of their life, come and follow me. And they did. And the rest is history. These guys, you know, they've written the Bible for us, and we're reading it today. And they made their mark on history because they were ready to follow Big Daddy's voice, the Father's voice. Am I saying that we should all be homeless and redundant? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You'll be glad to hear. You know, we still need to build the kingdom of God in this place. But, you know, we need to be ready for whatever it is God says for us to do. Just do what God tells you. His ways are higher than our ways. Yeah. You know, and sometimes they're beyond understanding at the time. But his ways are the best ways. The balance, yeah? Now, Paul, he used his career to fund his missionary work. He was a tent maker by trade. And sometimes he would do that. He would use his career to further the purpose of the gospel so that he could fund his missionary work. He would have loved Faith Camp, wouldn't he? Paul Stall. That would be better, wouldn't it? Yeah. Paul Stall. Anyway. Moving on. The rule is, let what you do on earth advance the purpose of God. 99 times out of 100, serving God looks like serving others. I like what you did there, Shane, with the old. Me and God, you know, when the people kind of cross themselves, spiritual sanctity, and they do all that, you know. It's about meeting each other's needs as well. Pastor Shane's absolutely right. We need each other. We need each other. Right, Matthew chapter 25. If I got it right this time, verse 34 through to 40. Yay, excellent. This is Jesus speaking. And, he's using a parable, but he's also speaking the truth about the end judgment. And one day we're all going to stand before God. That's something that should cause us to, be a little bit, I don't know, I'm not sure whether fearful is the right word, perhaps it is. Yeah, then the king will say to those on his right, King Jesus that is, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you some clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. What a statement. What a statement. It's kind of like, I love it. Come here. Come here. You were blessed by my Father. Right. Anything you did for these, you were doing it for me. Hospitality team. Where's the hospitality guys? Anybody who works on the hospitality? How many hundreds of cups of tea have you made for Jesus? Quite a lot. Quite a lot. An awful lot, yeah? You know, if we can get what Jesus is actually saying there, the weight of it, can we have just that last part up again, please, Hazel? Angus, you are one, but not that one. Yes. All right. What? When you did it to one, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Let's just leave that up there for a minute, because that is just such an amazing statement. Okay, you see, if we could see it like that, you know, every time somebody doesn't say, thank you for that cup of tea, you don't have to get irked about it. You think, I was doing it for Jesus. You know, you're going to do your best. It's going to be the best cup of tea ever, because you were doing it for Jesus. If we could just get that into our minds and into our thought pattern. Worship team, you know, all that practice, all those songs you're singing it to Jesus. Singing it to Jesus. You know, you're doing it to Jesus. That's what he said. I tell you the truth. You did it for those, you did it for me. What a difference that would make, yeah? All the kids workers, all the prayer warriors, you do it for Jesus. What we do for one another, we do for Jesus. Turn around to one another and say, hey, when I serve you, I'm serving Jesus. When I serve you, I'm serving Jesus. That's what he said, didn't he? I tell you the truth. You did it for me. You did it for them, you did it for me. Amen? All right. If the body of Christ could get a grasp of that, what a church it would be, eh? Can you imagine? What a church it would be. Like the Acts church. Yeah? Didn't they put that into practice? And all the unseen stuff, the small kindnesses that you can do, do it for one another. You're doing it for Jesus. You know, it's like a credit. It's like a credit, you know? I saw what you did. I'm going to give you a credit for that one. As soon as we get up there, up to heaven, we're going to be surprised. You know, there's a surprise, isn't there? Like, when did we do that, Jesus? When did we do that? And you're doing it for them. Doing it for me. I saw it. It's a credit. You know, you're going to get a nice surprise when you get to the kingdom that is prepared for you. Do good stuff for people. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John 13:35. That's a bonus scripture for you. All right. When you get revelation of serving others means serving Jesus, you're going to do a good job. You won't get so tired, you know. Yeah, that's the way it should be, guys. That's the way it should be. That's what we need to strive for. We do. Right. Remember that next time it's Healthy House. Doing it for Jesus. Right, we're on to Luke now. Luke 16, verse 10 through to 12. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Again, I think that verse, worldly wealth, can be translated as mammon. Okay, so God was on my case about a little thing. Calibrating some electrical equipment I've got to do testing. I thought, I hardly ever used it. Surely I don't need to get this calibrated. It kept kind of nagging away at me. It's just one of those kind of little things. And okay, I'm going to do it. It's going to cost me some money, but I'm going to do it, you know. But hey, it's worth it. But the blessing that you know that God is going to put on your life. Also, he knows what I'm going to preach before I preach it. So I can't stand up here and say, hey, you know, we need to be faithful in the little things if I'm not being faithful in the little things. So thank you, Lord. I'm going to get calibrated right on time. Thank you, Jesus. All right. God knows and God sees. You know, that's what it talks about, walking in the fear of the Lord. God knows, God sees. We need to be faithful in all the small things that we do. You know, let's not let unfaithfulness creep into our lives. Let's be faithful in our marriage, in our thoughts. Be faithful in your marriage with your eyes, all right? And then the bigger issues aren't going to arise. You're faithful in those little things. Bigger things haven't got room to move in, yeah? Be faithful in your finances, and the tax man will never get you, okay? Pay all your taxes, like the Bible says. Pay your taxes. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. You know, if you're a self-employed person or you get tips and stuff like that, declare it, you know. Give the tax man what you owe him and give to God what is God's. And God will bless you. Be faithful with the little things. Be faithful with the truth and you won't be caught in a lie, etc., etc., etc. Okay. Matthew 16, verse 24 through to 27. Does anybody want to get me a nice cup of water and Jesus is going to give you a credit? Thanks, Hayes. It was almost a race there. I like it. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and would judge all people according to their deeds." Thank you, Hazel. Bless you. Bless you. So Jesus, he's giving it to us straight there, isn't he? He doesn't mix his words, you know. If anybody wants to be a disciple of mine, they got to pick up their cross, you know. They got to carry it. This was just after Peter had rebuked Jesus. Jesus, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You got it wrong there, Jesus. I know you're the Son of God, but you got it wrong. All right. Stop saying things like that. And Jesus had to rebuke Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You know? That's hearing that from Jesus. He's not afraid to rebuke you sometimes, guys. You know, you get told off by God, it happens. All right. Just do what he says. He's the daddy, yeah? You know? Sometimes he tells us off, and we've got to take it and move on. He's doing it for our good because he loves us. All right. If you want to follow him, you do it his way. And yes, it comes with a burden, but it's a good burden. Like I say, every person on earth serves somebody or something, each with its own burden. And those burdens that aren't from God, they aren't good. They're heavy loads. They're lopsided. They hurt. There's going to be a cost that you're going to pay one way or the other. But yeah, a cross, it's a heavy thing. You know, it's an instrument of execution. Pick up your cross. It's not something that's put upon you. It's you. You decide to pick it up. You know, pick it up. It's a choice. It's a choice. Is Jesus saying that every day being a believer is as painful as crucifixion? Nope, I don't believe so. It's not been my experience anyway. Thankfully. Please, Lord. But no, I don't believe he's saying that. But what he does mean is that we need to nail self-interest to the cross. Yeah? Nail the me, me, me. You know, it's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about God. You know, and God will bless you in return. As you nail your self-desires to the cross, God will bless you. You don't need to worry about me, me, me. You need to worry about God, 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 and God, God, God can worry about you, you, you. Yeah? Does that make sense? Good. Excellent. You know, see the need of others. Lose your life, and you will gain it along with eternal life. That's God's promise to you, to me, to all of us, to anybody who will follow him, in fact. It's God's way. You know, it's the way of God. So Jesus would prove this literally, yeah? He picked up his cross, didn't he? Literally picked up a cross. And he lost his life, but God gave it back to him again. And we gained eternal life because of it. So verse 26, Jesus, he asks a rhetorical question there. So, is anything worth more than your soul? And the answer to that question is, no, it's not. No, it's not. You could be the richest man in the world. You could be Bill Gates or whoever else you want to mention, the most powerful ruler. Nothing is worth more than your soul. Nothing. If you find Jesus, you are a winner, now and in eternity. Yeah, let's just remember that he is the daddy, which means he's the boss, yeah? He's the boss of our life. Okay, I'm just going to sum up for us now. Never stop picking up that cross. Never stop denying the desire for selfishness. It's God's way. You know, it's what he's called us to, selflessness. So here's a recap. When God found you, you found life. For your life to count, it must be lived selflessly. Nothing given up for God in this life will go unrewarded in this life, and especially in the next life. Right. Serving others means serving Jesus. Be faithful in the little things. Because if you are, God knows that you can be faithful with the bigger things as well. And know that to follow Jesus is to say no to selfish living. Amen? Okay. We're going to pray. So, yeah, it'd be good just to have a little time of reflection, you know, just to ask God, you know, maybe there's something that touched you. Maybe there's something that spoke to you. Maybe it was just one line. Who knows? But, yeah, just close your eyes and get with your Father. With your Father. You know, even if it's just a case of saying, today, Lord, I rededicate myself to you. Maybe you've already done that. Do it again, you know. Your Father loves you so much, and he's got such a great plan for your life. Trust him. We can trust him. You know, God's saying to you today, trust me. I'm your Father. Just let me be, your daddy, your Abba Father, the one that cares for you. You can trust him with every aspect of your life, with your finances, with your future, with your direction, with your family. You know, we get challenges. Challenges come to us, but we can trust God. Just dedicate all these things over to God. Say, God, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with the future. And I want to trust you with whatever it is you're saying to me at this time. Or even in the future as well. I want to thank you, Father, that, yeah, we can call you Father. I want to thank you, Lord, you're not just a God that sits on a mantelpiece and gets dusty, but you're the awesome God, the all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. But God, in all of that greatness and all that splendor, you know me, you know each one of us, you know how many hairs there are upon our head. And I thank you, Lord, that God, not even a sparrow falls to the ground and you don't see it. God, you care so much for us, Lord, and we can trust you with our lives. And God, I just want to pray that more and more we'll be putting our trust in you, Lord God, and that we wouldn't be so self-absorbed, but God, we can just dedicate ourselves to you again and again and again. And Lord, when we come off those rails, I pray that you're going to help us to get back on them, Lord, and go the way that you want us to, traveling down your railroad, Lord God. with you at the wheel. Thank you that we can trust you, Lord God. I do pray, Lord, that you're going to help us to bless one another as well. Lord, that we would do good to one another as a body. And that, God, that the world would see that we are your disciples because we got so much love one for another. God, spread your love abroad, Lord. I pray that we be that people that reach out to one another. And God, when we're doing it for one another, knowing that we're doing it for you as well. Just thank you, Lord, that we can serve you in serving one another. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.